And now, Jim Dearman.
What a wonderful choice you have made to tune in to the Word of God at this hour. You could have made other choices to do other things of a worldly nature, but we commend you for your interest in the study of the Word of God. In the 84th Psalm, the first verse begins, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." What a marvelous attitude is expressed in that statement. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Then in verse 10, the psalmist continues, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." A day with God is better than all other days without God. To worship God in spirit and truth is better than to serve Satan and the things of this world. Although there might be pleasure for a little while in living in the tents of wickedness or worldly pleasure. Yes, it is good that you've chosen to study with us from the Word of God. What should motivate us to study God's Word and to obey that Word and become servants of God? There are some statements in verse 11 of Psalm 84 which reveal to us some reasons for following God. He shows us why it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This verse explains why the psalmist longs for the courts of the Lord. Today we're going to begin a study of Psalm 84, verse 11, and we will continue this study next time, the Lord willing. In these two lessons, we'll look at key words in this verse, Psalm 84, 11, which give to us the reason for hungering after the courts of the Lord, which today would be the Church of Christ, the Church of the living God, where all spiritual blessings are to be found. It is where true peace and joy are to be obtained. Is that not worth seeking? Yes, indeed. But why should we seek the Lord? Because, as the psalmist first declares in Psalm 84, 11, "For," or because, "the Lord God is a sun." And that's S-U-N. The Lord God is a sun. S-U-N. You know, the sun is a marvelous physical blessing, isn't it? How many times have you expressed, "What a beautiful day it is," as you saw the sunshine? We do not normally express such gratitude for dreary skies and stormy weather, although we certainly need rain and we should be thankful for it. We associate sunshine with that which is beautiful, desirable, and which gives us warmth and light. Well, the psalmist declares that God is our sun. He's our light. How wonderful is the light of the sun, but how much greater is the spiritual light that comes from God, the source of all spiritual blessings. The question is, do you recognize God as your spiritual source of light? The prophet Isaiah expressed it beautifully in Isaiah chapter 60 as he looked toward the time of spiritual Zion, the establishment of the church. In verse 18 of Isaiah 60, the prophet declares, "Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." In spiritual Zion, you see, which is the Church of Christ, there is no need for any wall other than the wall of salvation. Hear again what the prophet said, "You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise." No, in the church, no need for any other wall other than the wall of salvation. The wall of salvation and the gates of praise. But then Isaiah continues in verse 19 of this 60th chapter, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended." That's Isaiah 60, verses 19 and 20. Now, the age that Isaiah was describing, the age he was pointing to, has now become reality. You and I live in that time, presently, where the church has been established, and those who are in it enjoy the blessings which come from God, who is our sun, our spiritual light. Then in the book of Malachi, there is a statement in the 4th chapter which speaks of the Lord as our spiritual light, referring this time to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In Malachi 4, verse 2, God says through the prophet Malachi, But to you who fear my name, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. God is our Son, but through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he has given us the spiritual light of righteousness. Righteousness in the church for which Jesus shed his precious blood. Malachi tells us that Jesus Christ himself, the Son, S-U-N of righteousness, arises with healing in his wings. The prophet is saying that Jesus will arise with a plan by which man may become righteous or justified in God's sight. And Jesus fulfilled Malachi's prophecy and gave us the gospel, the good news, whereby all may be saved who will obey that gospel. When we obey the gospel, we are forgiven of our sins. And we have hope then of heaven, of eternal life with God and Christ and with the Holy Spirit and with the faithful of all the ages. Oh, how grateful we ought to be for the healing which Jesus brought down to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. We should express that gratitude by obeying Christ's teachings and spending all our remaining days on this earth expressing that love and gratitude through our obedient faith. We ought to say to our God, a day in your courts is better than a thousand other days. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, God is our Son, who has given us light through his only begotten Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, the S-U-N of righteousness, the Son of righteousness, who shines as a light in a world darkened by sin. And this is the thought that is seen throughout the New Testament. John begins his account of the gospel in this way. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, the living Word, Jesus he's referring to. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There it is. John 1, 1 through 4. The life was the light of men. John was not that light, but he was to bear witness of that light. What light? Jesus Christ, the true light, who lights every man who comes into the world. John 1, 9. Jesus himself, as recorded in John 8, verse 12, said of himself, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God is our Son. Our S-U-N, our light, the psalmist declares. But in what sense? He is our Son in that he has sent his Son, his S-O-N, his only begotten Son, the Son, the light, the radiant Son of righteousness. He has sent him into a darkened world to shine forth, to give light. But how does he do that? Is he with us today in person? No. But he is that light through his Word, which he has delivered to us. He is our light through the glorious gospel, and through the gospel we behold Jesus. We behold his brilliance, we behold his glory. In Psalm 119, 105, we find these words, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Today, Jesus, through his word, gives us all the light we need to be guided to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul speaks of the gospel being hid in those who have blinded themselves to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, Paul writes, Whose minds the God of this age, that's the devil, has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. How then does Paul say that Jesus, the light of the world, shines upon men today? He does it through the gospel. And only when men hide themselves from that light through their hardness of heart is that light blocked from them. The light is available to all. Jesus came into this world as the light to all men. Yet not all will agree with the psalmist that a day in his courts is better than a thousand other days. And more will appreciate the physical light of the sun than the spiritual light, God himself and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. What a tragedy to continue to walk in darkness when the light of the world is available to you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, For it is the God who commanded, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a statement. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shines in all the world. And for all who will not blind themselves to that light, but will behold that light through the gospel that Jesus has delivered, for them there are blessings beyond belief, joy that is unspeakable, and peace that truly surpasses all understanding. And beyond that, there is a glory of which we will speak next time in our lesson together, a glory that awaits those who will make the right choice concerning the light of the world.